It's snowing outside, but warm and cozy inside. The kids are settled in front of a video in the other room, and around the dining room table, the adults are finishing up an exquisite home-cooked meal. It really should be two couples, but one of the husbands is on a business trip. Is there any greater metaphor for the low-key comforts and pleasures than dinner with friends? Well, as luck would have it, just as they're savoring polenta cake with Anne and a little bit of camaraderie, Beth announces that she and Tom, her absent spouse, are calling it quits. And the chill comes inside as the couples realize that relationships and life are more fragile than we would like to admit. Dinner with Friends, Donald Margulies' Pulitzer Prize-winning play, is currently in a revival at the Roundabout's Laura Pels Theater on West 46th Street. It's running until April 13th, and I'm very pleased that it brings playwright Donald Margulies and actors Darren Petty and Jeremy Shemus to our show today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Donald, has your impression of the play changed with time? You once described it as a rueful comedy.
Oh, it's pretty rueful. Hmm. I wrote it when I was in my 40s, and I'm older now. It's now much more a play about mortality almost than it is about marriage.
Well, the audience tends to laugh at things kind of knowingly.
Yes.
They do recognize these things, I guess, from their own lives. This does feel like it must have come from your own personal experience.
Well, I wrote the play at a time in my life where my wife and I witnessed couples all around us who were suddenly breaking up. So we thought all of the stalwart members of our circle were suddenly falling by the wayside, and we were the last man and woman standing. So that's really where the play came from.
And I read somewhere that you would have arguments with your wife and then ask if you could use them in the play.
Yes, I would wait for a reasonable period of time before I asked her that.
Did she always give you permission?
Always.
Really? That's
always.
Nice.
I share royalties with her, so she does participate.
Well, I guess it's the price one pays for living with a playwright. But when you say mortality, these are not old people, but they're middle-aged people, but there are other kinds of mortalities too.
Well, I think there's a speech that Jeremy's character has late, sort of the 11 o'clock number of the play, where he talks about how it all goes by so fast. And, writing that in my mid-40s was one thing, but seeing it as I'm about to kiss 60 is a completely different scenario. So, I think it's really just a matter of where you're viewing your life, from which vantage point are you viewing your life.
Well, Jeremy, you play Gabe, one half of the solid couple, and your wife Karen is played by Maren Hinkle, wonderfully, I might add. Why is your character so threatened by the split?
I think it threatens his own marriage. It threatens the assumptions that he makes about his wife and his relationship and the things that may or may not be unspoken. But I also think it's threatening because the other couple is so much a part of their life that when they're broken up, it's like, how does that organism, the organism's gone. So what are those two new entities and how will that work out? And so it's just, the ground shifts.
Well, your relationship with her seems so solid, but she keeps on insisting that Tom, the errant husband, is having a midlife breakdown and needs to be talked down off the roof. Your character remains silent.
That's true.
Is this male solidarity or?
I think that probably Gabe, as all people, when they're faced with someone else having that kind of crisis, wonder themselves if they're having that crisis and they're just avoiding it or if they're just not facing it. So it's hard to talk someone down when you may be talking yourself down.
Well, one of the things I found interesting about the play is that there's never any sense of schadenfreude. The event is just threatening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not as if in the play any weaknesses in Karen and Gabe's marriage are revealed. But why don't Karen and Gabe feel that their marriage is all the stronger because of this comparison?
Well, they may come to think that. But the process that they go through in the play is such that you don't always recognize chapters in your life while you're living them. And I think that that's certainly true of them. As Jeremy said, the ground has moved. They're feeling the repercussions.
But also the possibility that our lives might be better with other partners or alone mm-hmm. is something everyone has entertained at some point mm-hmm. in middle age, in the middle of a marriage.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
We're first introduced to Tom when he's forced back home because of weather and arrives in Karen's bedroom in the second scene. Darren?
In Beth's bedroom.
Beth's bedroom.
That would be a different place.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's an exciting
could have happened.
That's kind of dinner with friends.
Darren, my old bedroom.
Darren, why inflict that on her? You could have gone to a motel.
Well, I mean, I say that there were no motels. Everything was booked. And I feel like once Tom realizes that he's not going to see Nancy, not going to be able to make it down there.
The other woman.
I do want to come back and see maybe what happened at dinner.
Well, do you think it's fair to call Tom a cad, or at least he appears that way in the first two scenes, kind of shallow?
I mean, I think it's not unfair necessarily, but I mean, to play him, I have to not judge him like that. But I do think, I mean, one of the things I love about the play is that Donald's never saying who's right or wrong. Everybody's just doing what they think is going to make them the happiest, you know, and Tom feels that he has every reason in the world to make a big change in his life, even though it's going to affect other people. But he feels like it's going to affect everyone positively in the long run.
But he seems to be most concerned about the menu that he's missed. He asked for the menu.
Yeah, but I think that's just a way to sort of get to the next questions, which is, what did you guys talk about?
As an actor, are you insulted when the New York Times Review says of you that you've been cast perhaps too obviously as a philanderer? Don't they recognize good acting?
I don't know.
Do they know something that I don't know?
I don't think so. I have been cast. I have a philanderer's face. I don't know. I've been cast as a philanderer a few times. In my personal life, I'm not one. But
my guests are Darren Petty, Jeremy Shamus, and Donald Margulies. We're talking about Dinner with Friends, which is currently at the Laura Pels Theater on West 46th Street. Donald, how important is casting for a play like this?
It's absolutely crucial. The beauty of this production is that we were able to assemble four people who not necessarily were friendly before this production, but who really have they fuse together in a wonderful, warm, affectionate way, which is so essential to the story of the play being told.
And we, the audience, have to like all these people and understand what makes them friends.
That's right. But, you know, theater is alchemy. Sometimes you cast and it doesn't gel in that way. When it does, it's a joy. It's a joy to watch because you really do sense the depth of affection that exists in the play so that we also understand the loss when things fall apart.
The play was first performed in New York in 1999. Did you feel the need to do any rewriting?
The only changes that I made were of technological nature, because in the original version, there was discussion of tapes, videotapes, but people don't really understand what a videotape is anymore.
I've heard of those, though.
Yeah.
But, if you're of a certain age.
Yeah, exactly. But those were the only spots, you know, sort of bumps in the play that I encountered when I heard it again after years.
What about the NPR news theme? Was that at the beginning of the second act in the original production?
It was.
And that kind of tells us who these people are.
I think so. Mm. Yes.
Intelligent, you know, smart, kind, yes. Good, wonderful people.
Handsome, pretty. I didn't realize that there were as many people obsessed with food in 1999 as there are today. Were there such accomplished foodies back then, or was it rarer?
I think it was rarer. You know, now I think that with all of the reality shows that are centered around cooking, I think it's sort of exploded. Back in the late 90s, I think it was just sort of beginning. And the choice of food as sort of the motif in the play really was part of my wish to give Gabe and Karen an occupation that they did together, which in this case is they're food and travel writers.
Well, there are some wonderful touches. There's a moment where Karen is chopping up some mincing garlic.
Yes.
And Gabe suddenly wants to hug her It's almost like when people, men get jealous of the dog. In this case, he's jealous,
yes, I'm jealous of the garlic.
Of the cooking process. Yes. Yes. And I have, I think I've experienced that a few times on both sides of that.
Probably so.
A lot of the language of food is similar to that of sex. Is that a trade-off in middle age, a sublimation of satisfaction?
Gee. Well, it certainly is a part of pleasure in its myriad forms. The sensual experience of cooking and eating in this play is also linked to an expression of love.
And nurturing.
Absolutely.
So in this case, it's an indication of how this couple, the hosts, the couple that's planning to stay together, would approach marriage.
Yes, right.
Is one of the ways that middle-aged couples with children stay together refusing to consider the alternative as a possibility? Now, I realize that you are not psychologists.
That's but right.
You, and this yeah. is really a work of art. But I also know that actors write backstories for themselves. Mm-hmm. They think about how their character came to be where he or she is. And I suspect that just based on the performances, both of you have done that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the fundamental argument near the end of the play between Tom and Gabe, the one who's Tom having chosen to leave his marriage and pursue his own happiness, and the other who's decided to stay in a marriage that makes him happy but doesn't perhaps make him as thrilled in that way. I think that's sort of the fundamental argument that, you know, do you stick something out because you committed to doing it and grow deeper into let it evolve? Or, you know, and so I think, I think a successful marriage has to include a commitment that might sometimes include giving things up or mm-hmm. compromising.
Well, Darren, your character and Jeremy's have known each other for the longest in the play. Mm-hmm. This is also about the strains on friendship.
On the friendship, yes. Yeah. And, I mean, I do think in that last scene in the bar, I don't want to give too much away, but when Gabe and Tom are talking, I feel like Gabe has a better understanding that this might be it for them. I think maybe Tom somewhere deep down knows, but I also believe that he thinks, oh no, things are going to be fine. I just mm-hmm. once you get used to my new life, we'll go back to the way we were. And because I say to him, I'll always be there, but it won't be with Beth. But mm-hmm. I think Gabe really senses more than Tom at that moment that things are never going to be the same again. Mm-hmm.
Recently, we had the editor of the Modern Love column in the Sunday Times style section on our show, and he said his stories break down into two categories, how to find love and then in mid-relationship when there are marriage and kids, how to keep it. Mm-hmm. And that's largely what you're writing about here.
Well, yes, but I also want to I'm not an advice columnist.
But what you get across is that the first part of the quest, as he revealed,
right.
is more exciting, generally more easily satisfied than the second.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because the play has become a kind of litmus test for couples, I think. The interpretation of the end of the play is it really runs the gamut. You know, some people find it devastating. Some people find it warm and comforting.
Or understandable.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, but I think that, you know, one of the things that I try to do with this play is really just to portray four flawed individuals as rigorously and as honestly as I can. And hopefully will reveal a universal experience.
Has the reaction from audiences been different than it was in 1999?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it seems like more young people are seeing this play now. Maybe because they've heard of it, than originally saw it 14 years ago.
Well, did you the two actors, think of this also as a relationship between two couples? I mean, when there are strains for one reason or another, couples wind up experiencing them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, these guys... That's what I love about the flashback scene. I mean, you do get to see the history of us all together.
The second act begins years before.
Yeah.
when it's right. The second couple is just meeting each other.
Beth and Tom are meeting for the first time. And
We also see the strains between the two women.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their relationships have changed as a result.
Right. I mean, what you had asked earlier about casting pertains also to the same sex couples that are in the play, where we need to not only believe that this man and this woman are together, but also that these women would be friends for the period of time that they have been.
And they're played by Maren Hinkle and Heather Burns.
Yes.
Are you working on something new?
Yes, I am. I have a new play called The Country House, which is going to premiere in Los Angeles in June at the Geffen Playhouse.
And this run is until April 13th.
Yes.
Is that hard and fast?
I think at the moment it is, yes.
I assume that Darren and Jeremy, you both have other things in the works, or are you going to – do you want this run to go longer?
Oh, I mean, I would be happy for it to go longer.
It's a wonderful role.
Yeah, it is.
When you get a role like this, Jeremy, and you can really run with it. But actors tell me that they're still figuring it out.
Oh, yeah.
Up to the end of the run.
It's very true. Every night this play is very different. And because it's the relationships are so rich that, you know, one time you can take something very personally. Sometimes you can say something very sarcastically, and and the way Donald's written it, like Darren said, but people aren't judged, or so you know, it's very open for interpretation, and so it's a real pleasure to play.
Also, in this little jewel box of a theater,
you
almost feel like you really are in their dining room.
Yeah.
There's a kind of silence that hovers over the theater at times that's beautiful.
Dinner with Friends is at the Roundabout's Laura Pell's Theater on West 46th Street. That's off of 6th Avenue. Runs until April 13th. Thank you, Donald Margulies, Darren Petty, and Jeremy Seamus for being on our show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thanks a lot.